Well, what a privilege. I was quite excited when I thought I had the privilege of giving the first message of this year. But then it hadn't really dawned on me, of course, but somebody just mentioned it earlier on that it's actually the first message of this decade. And suddenly, well, the privilege becomes a bit more scary to think that actually I've got this responsibility. And even just sort of standing there this morning, just sort of thinking about what's happened over the last 10 years, really, and just remembering back to effectively this Sunday in 2010, when we were up at the Vuland School meeting that day and clearing some of the snow away to make it more easier for people to get there. And so that sort of takes you back 10 years. Some of us were there, some of us weren't. And some of you weren't even in Scotland then. Some of you were in South Africa. Obviously, we've had people coming from New Zealand. We've even had people coming from England since then. And so, I mean, people coming from all over the world, from all sorts of places. And God is gathering us together. And even though we might still feel like a small number, it is important what God is doing amongst us here. And so it is quite a privilege to bring the first message of the decade to the church. And I'm hoping that it will be something that will stir us. And I thought I'm on pretty safe ground, because as I was thinking about this morning, We were planning, I think it was at the beginning of December, we had a sort of meeting of the people who speak as to what we were going to be speaking about next, because we just finished before Christmas our series about family, being both church family and our sort of blood family, for want of a better term. And so we were talking about what happens next, and so we were looking at sort of from today onwards, and I just felt on my heart that I wanted to bring, we were talking about the next series, but I just felt I wanted to bring a real exhortation to us at the start of this year. So I've gone off piste. I'm not starting the new series. That will start next week. But I'm a little bit off piste, but I'm very much what I feel God has sort of put on my heart to stir us and encourage us. And most importantly is I'm speaking very, very much to myself this morning, as well as to you guys, because what my heart is very much for myself. But I feel like I'm on safe ground, because what I want to focus on is a passage that's is a slight indulgence, because it's probably one of my most favourite passages in the Bible, but I think it is very, very appropriate to a Sunday such as this. I'll read it out first, and then I'll comment. And it's from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 21, and it'll be a passage that I'm sure will be a bit familiar to you all, and we've preached on it a few times. I know I've preached on it before, I know Tom's preached on it, I remember him, and I'm sure probably most of the people who preach here have probably preached on this passage at some point, but I feel it's very, very appropriate for today. So it says from verse 14, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work in us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen." I mean, I think that is one of the most stirring, provocative, encouraging, exhorting passages of the Bible. I mean, obviously all of the Bible is inspired by God, and it says that, doesn't it? But actually this is one of those passages that I feel you cannot read it without being stirred and feel sort of strengthened and empowered. So in a way, I'm quite tempted to just read that passage over and over again, five or six times, perhaps more, rather than actually say anything about it, because just those very words themselves are sort of stirring. So you may have to forgive me if I read it through a couple of times yet still, because I feel that actually that very truth of the words, I don't want to sort of detract from them at all. I want the truth and the strength of those words in Ephesians to really sort of penetrate our hearts this morning and our minds as well. And Julia had a vague idea about what I was speaking about this morning, but she didn't know the particular passage, I don't think. And so when she prayed earlier and talked about the breadth and the length of the love of God, which is in that passage that I've just read out, she knew nothing about that. So I'm really pleased that God was preparing the way, even as we worshipped, as that often happens, doesn't it? And so what we're worshipping, and that God sort of draws out the theme even before the preacher gets up to preach. So that's great preparation. And so this, I'm not a person, despite the fact that I get sort of a bit stirred by the beginnings of years, I'm definitely not a person who's into New Year's resolutions. I always say to people, if it's a New Year's resolution, why are you waiting for the New Year? Just get on and do it. And so I'm not a big person into New Year's resolutions. But I do feel that at the start of things, those are significant times. I think it's the Japanese who say, isn't it, that the beginning is half of the whole. So the start of something is really important, and it is significant. And I think we see that at times in the Bible, how that comes through, that at the beginning of something there's this sort of impetus, there's this push. And I don't think it's insignificant as we come to a new year. I feel you get a similar sort of feeling around the sort of end of August, beginning of September, because it's like the school year. I think you've got a similar sort of feel, but particularly to the calendar year, there is this sense of actually we've passed the shortest day as well, so the nights are beginning to draw out, which for those of us who love being outside and enjoying the great outdoors, and those who don't, not so keen on darkness, dark days, and those of us who don't sadly at the moment have wood burning stoves, which was why I loved the winter before. I mean, I love beautiful days like Hogmanay. It was just such a gorgeous day, wasn't it? But actually having a wood-burning stove just transforms your winter into a very pleasant experience. And so we're missing that at the moment. But sorry, I'm digressing here. But there is something significant, isn't there, about the beginning of something. And as much as anything else, it's time to almost stop, take stock, and also because for quite a lot of us, we've perhaps been off work as well. It's tricky, isn't it? Back to work tomorrow for myself, and actually all three of us in our house, back to work tomorrow. But so it's the beginning of something new, something fresh, the new year, new decade even. And so I think these are significant times to just stop and take stock of where you are, and also look forward to where you want to go. I was just thinking, again, sort of thinking back 10 years, I think how much has changed over that 10 years. So that Sunday morning 10 years ago, our three children were there sort of with shovels and all sorts trying to clear the snow, and like just one of them who's not a child anymore, here we go 10 years later. And so how things change in 10 years, and what do the next 10 years hold in store? And so I think it's a key time to stop and think about what we're wanting to achieve, what God has for us over this next year, or maybe your mind is able to sort of think beyond that. But anyway, and sometimes you want to set yourself targets, or because the busyness of life can really overtake sometimes. And sometimes you think about, I really want to do this, and then you get sort of 3 or 4 months down the line, and you think, actually, I really wanted to do that, but sort of nothing's changed. And so you have to think, well, actually, we need to be more intentional about this. And I think that's the opportunity to take, isn't it, at the start of a new year, is to think, right, I'm going to be more intentional about what I want to see happen in my life in this year ahead. And so So we do obviously work, we do grow by the Spirit's work in our lives, and we mustn't ever detract from that. But actually it takes some intentionality from us as well. If I think that's a word. Craig, that's a word. Is it intentionality? Sounds like it should be a word anyway. You get what I mean. And so you might say one good example, particularly in church life, is in the area of hospitality, a very important part of church life, and we all need to play our part in that. And maybe God might be challenging you about that, and it's particularly one of those things, isn't it, where you can get sort of 2 months down the line and you suddenly realise you haven't done anything about it. So you've got to sort of stop and think, right, we're going to set this time aside, we're going to sort of actually speak to some people and book some people in to have them round or whatever, however it works for you in terms of hospitality. But it takes a bit of intentionality, doesn't it, to actually make it happen. Otherwise, it just sort of drifts into the background. Our growth, growing, is made up of all sorts of things, some very practical things which are easier to plan and assess, but also some things which are harder to organise, but we still need to be intentional about what we want to happen. So for instance, as a church together, one of our sort of things this year is to see that we move forward in prayer. And so just as we had the special sort of time of getting together for prayer during November last year, there's more sort of blocks set aside this year so that as a church we move forward in prayer. We've done something, Tom or Julian, one of them, has done something intentional there of saying, right, over these months together, I guess, we're actually going to spend some time, some evenings in prayer so that we actually sort of move forward in this area as a church. And so that's it's important as a church and also for us as individuals as well. So the reason why I picked out this passage, particularly in Ephesians, is because I think what we see there is what Paul's heart is for the Ephesians at this point, what he really wants to see completely embedded and growing in their lives. And I think is, in a way, there's nothing better that can be applied to each of our lives individually as well. And it's particularly about that, his exhortation to them that they should know who they are in Christ. And this is something that we've sort of talked a lot about over these last few years, and particularly probably over the last 4 or 5 years, about who we are in Christ, the fact that we are children of God, the fact that we are adopted, and so that we're to live not as orphans anymore, but we're to live as children who've been adopted by the Father, and live in the good of that. And I think that is the oomph behind Paul's prayer here, is that we live in the goodness of who we are. And so that, in some ways, that's the headline of what I want to get across this morning, is we've been talking about who we are over these last few years, and we need to keep reminding ourselves and emphasizing that, but it's also about living in the good of that and living through that and growing in it and learning to enjoy it more and more. And that is very much also what I see as Paul's heart for the Ephesians here. And you can kind of see that Paul's only got sort of a short space, and so he just lets it all gush out in this prayer at the end of Ephesians 3. And so I just want to look quite quickly at the prayer itself. And his prayer is that they should be strengthened in their inner being. And so how does that happen? By being rooted and grounded in love. And those rooted and grounded are very key words. They're very foundational. And it's what holds us together in knowing God's love for us. There's a real sort of, it's not just a surface thing that can be sort of come and gone. Over these, during the last year, when we moved into our house just over sort of 15 months ago, there were lots of bushes out the back, in the back garden. And there were some in the front garden as well. If you saw our garden now, you'd just see it's a bit of a wasteland, really, because all of those bushes have been uprooted. And in order to do that, was quite back-breaking work for someone who reached their began their sixth decade this year, particularly as I passed my 50th birthday last year. But for digging those, it was a lot harder in this house, I found, than in the previous house when I was a good sort of 6 or 7 years younger. It gets harder, but you really understand how powerful roots are and how grounded bushes are when you try and dig them up. And all you can hope to do really is cut as many of the roots as you can going out from them. And I discovered actually a pickaxe is the most wonderful tool ever. There's two brilliant tools, a pickaxe and a little plasterboard saw. That's the other one I've discovered. Brilliant tools. If you haven't got them, if you're doing any DIY, you need them both. Outside, it's the pickaxe. Inside, it's this. Anyway, again, I'm digressing. I've just given you these for free. I hope you're appreciating that. But a pickaxe, if you're doing any gardening, it sounds pretty, I mean, you're sledgehammerish, doesn't it? But a pickaxe is the most wonderful tool for getting right underneath, jumping up and down on it to really sort of get those roots up. But it really, when you're doing that, is like I said, back-breaking work, but you understand how powerful roots are. And this is what Paul is getting at here, is that actually that knowledge of God's love for us isn't meant to be something that sort of can easily come and go. And it depends upon our circumstances. It depends whether it's a sunny day or a rainy day. The roots under those bushes in our garden, thankfully there were bushes most of them, not trees. The trees were an even bigger nightmare. But the roots in them, they are the same regardless of what the weather is, no matter how stormy it is. In fact, the storms, of course, strengthen the roots, but that's another sermon. But whether it's raining or shining, that power and the strength of those roots remain strong. And so similarly in our lives, this is Paul's desire for us, for the Ephesians and for us, I believe, is that actually we should have that knowledge of the love of God that is so strongly in our lives that no matter what comes against us, that they are remain strong. And in fact, the battles of life that come along actually strengthen that understanding of the love of God for us. And so that's the picture that's coming out here. And that's what Paul's prayer is, that we would know that we are grounded, rooted in the love of God at the foundations of our lives that's so strong. And and then he goes on to say that he wants us to know this, which surpasses knowledge. You think, I'm struggling with this one because I'm supposed to know something that surpasses knowledge. And this is fairly typical of the Christian life, isn't it? That actually we can only get, you can only ever get so far. And in fact, you can't even be born again. That's a bit weird in itself, isn't it? And the whole thing of the Christian life is it has to be fueled and empowered by the Holy Spirit. You cannot live the Christian life and you cannot grow in the Christian life without the Holy Spirit's work in your life. Because the only way that we are going to know that love of God, which is surpasses understanding, so it can't all be worked out up here, it has to be through the Holy Spirit's work powerfully in our lives, joined together with our own intentional growth plan as well, for want of a better word. And so we need to in order to grow in that knowledge that surpasses understanding, we need the Holy Spirit powerfully at work in our lives. And it's one of those sort of bit annoying things that, well, how do you know God loves you? And you think, how do you explain that to somebody? Because you can't say, well, I know God loves me because I found a parking space this morning. I mean, that's a bit pathetic, isn't it, really? I mean, okay, it might be appropriate in this situation and you might pay for parking spaces and that's fine. I'm not against that. But actually, if that is what your understanding of the love of God is, then it needs to go a lot deeper, doesn't it? That's not rooted, because another day you might not find a parking space, and what happens then? Your whole world comes falling down. No, you still know that love of God. And And so one of the quotes in our family, if anybody sort of says, like, how do you know that? Well, I just know. And it comes back to a Harry Potter quote from I've forgotten what his name is, the one who plays Snape. He's died now. Alan Rickman, that's it. And how good it must be to just know, because Harry Potter says he just knows something, and how good he knows, yes, he's... how good it must be to just know. But that's kind of a bit like we are. And that's, in a way, the only way we can really explain it to people. Because I suppose we can go a bit more sort of biblically than that. We know the love of God because of God's Holy Spirit work in our lives. To the people around us, it might seem a bit flaky. It just might be saying, well, I know because, well, I kind of just know, really. And that is kind of like what we are, because we can only really, because we don't know it by what happens externally. We know it by actually what's rooted and grounded deep within us. So it is a kind of a bit of a knowing just because we know. It's supernatural. And it's like it says here, it's the knowledge that surpasses understanding. So even if you could understand it, you probably wouldn't be able to explain it to anyone else anyway. So it's, but that's what we need to know in our lives. And I suppose the closest thing we get to it is a parent's love for their child, or child's love for their parents in that sense. It's something which is not determined by the circumstances, and quite often has to go through the circumstances. And when things aren't going so well, there's that deep love that is there despite whatever goes on. The love between a parent and a child. And of course, that's a weak example even in itself, because we are fallen. We were sinful before we were regenerated. And so any sort of example of that is going to be quite weak in comparison to the love of God for us, who is pure and holy and completely and utterly holy. And so it's in some ways the best example we can get, but even then it's pretty weak compared to how much God loves us. So his prayer is that we would know the... Let me just actually read that bit again. And he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Holy Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounding in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the sense the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of God, Christ, that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So that is sort of a progression from knowing that, is that we're filled with the fullness of God. And that filling, we need to remember, is not about what we feel we deserve. How much God fills us is not about what we've earned, but actually it's God's promise to us that we will be filled. And so we can know that filling, the fullness of God, despite whatever we feel we might have deserved, but actually we can hold on to the fact that God has promised it. And so we can know that filling of the fullness of God. What are some of the outworkings of this? What are the signs we should be looking for to see this active in our lives? There's three particular things which I just wanted to pick out quickly. So worship, prayer, and making a difference. And those are the three things. As I was preparing, I was thinking, what's the outworking of this? As well as it actually being a reality of a sort of deepening understanding of the love of God, what are the signs to us that this is taking place? First of all, I was thinking about worship. And that is something, obviously, we do as individuals, but we also do corporately. And I believe, as we have a greater of understanding of God's love for us and his influence on our lives, and the rooted and foundational love of God in our lives, I don't think we can grow in that without it affecting our worship. And I think I don't know about how you feel about how our corporate worship is going, or whether you think things are good, whether you think things are not so good at the moment. It's funny, isn't it, how you could talk to two people who have been in the same meeting and you say, worship seemed a bit flat this morning, didn't it? And the other person will say, which meeting were you in? I thought it was amazing. And often it has so much more to do with what's going on in here, actually, than what's going on around here, doesn't it? And if you feel that worship is maybe getting a bit sort of not going that great at the moment, then I think you need to come back to Ephesians 3 and fill yourself with that and read it through and pray with Paul that you would experience that. Because I think if we all do that, I think our worship here will be transformed. I know there are things to, you might want to question whether we're singing the right songs or whether we're using the right instruments and all this sort of thing. To some degree, that's all irrelevant. Obviously, they are important, and it's important that we don't sort of assume stuff and take stuff for granted and all that. But our worship, I think, genuine worship and glorifying Jesus is actually so much more about how we are and how we're responding to our understanding of who he is and who we are. And I think I would love to see us take leaps forward this year in our worship to get into a greater depth of place. Now, you may be sitting there thinking, I think worship's really, really good at the moment. Then that probably says something about how you're getting on with understanding the love of God, and maybe I'm slightly deficient on my understanding of it at the moment, and I need to particularly grow in that. I'd love us to really make big strides this year in our worship, and I think the key to that is us greater understanding of who God is and his work in our lives, and how his love, it just like some of those contributions that were coming out this morning, it's that understanding of, I'm standing here before God who has just transformed my life. I was an enemy of God's, and now I'm a worshiper of God, and that's only happened through the supernatural working of the Holy Spirit in my life. And that has to sort of bring out a sort of expression of worship in us. So our worship will be transformed, I think, as we get a greater understanding of where we stand with him. And so let that be a little challenge out to you, as to sort of go for it and get more stuck into God in order that he can sort of do that changes. And then our worship, I'm sure, will be go from greater to greater. That's terrible phraseology, but there we go. Secondly, prayer. And as we've talked about quite a bit, particularly in the second half of last year, really, is that thinking of prayer, getting away from this idea of prayer as a prayer list, sort of your wish list, your spiritual wish list or whatever it is, but actually understanding more and more that prayer is about relationship. When the Bible talks about prayer, you've got these different aspects of prayer, but actually the most fundamental aspect of prayer, and what we see from when it talks about Jesus praying, is it's about relationship with the Father, both individually and corporately. And I, like I was saying, I think if we get into a greater understanding and a greater experience of Ephesians 3 in our lives, I think that will transform in itself, as with our worship, our prayer life as well, because they kind of merge over into each other in many ways. The fact that actually our worship is really an expression and a sort of outward expression of what's going on in our, what you might call our prayer life or our intimacy with Jesus. And so the two are very, very much connected. Thirdly, making a difference, because in many ways, the worship and the prayer is what's going on with us personally and beginning then also to affect the church as well. But actually making a difference, I don't think we can get into a deeper understanding of Ephesians 3 and a greater experience of Ephesians 3 without that beginning to affect the people around us. And it's great that we've got involved with CAP and that's going well and that we're sort of praying for that, and some of us are involved with that directly. But it's reminding ourselves that actually every day we're making a difference. Every place we go, whether it's school tomorrow, the office tomorrow, the building site tomorrow, or wherever you might be going, Even if you're just staying in your home tomorrow, everywhere we go, we are making a difference. And as God is bringing that, causing us to know what is uncomprehendable more and more in our lives, that then has to affect the people around us just naturally, I think. I think obviously we need to be more intentional, but essentially I think it's actually what's growing in us, what's deepening in us, that will have the biggest effect on those around us. Because if you try and speak the gospel to somebody, that is going to be as effective as what they see in your life, if they know you particularly. If they can see it out working in their life, in your life, then they're going to listen to what you're saying. And so actually, if they can see the truth of it in your life, then how much more effective is that going to be? And even just on the little thing, it's not even perhaps about talking the gospel, speaking the gospel. It might just be little things that you feel prompted to do. And there's many stories, isn't there, how somebody just, there was a great story of somebody who just, there was the argument about milk as to milk in a fridge at work, often in schools, is quite a contentious issue. And even at our work as well, actually, there's things of milk in the thing with people's names written on. And if somebody dare take the slightest bit of milk out of that thing, who's taking the milk, sort of thing. And yet, there's this great story, I think it was one of the girls in Bedford who decided she was going to go in and she was going to put on the thing, free milk, help yourself, sort of thing. And that just changed the atmosphere of the place just by doing something really simple. And and maybe there'll be things, I think there will be things. Let's look to God to give us those promptings and to go with them. And just those simple little things. You might feel really... like the thought of telling someone the gospel, sat next to them at school or at home or wherever, you might find that really intimidating. And there are times where we just got to get beyond our fear, isn't there? But actually, I think there's a lot more to be done just by just little things that we can do just to express the love of God. Because I think people need to see it as to really sort of, that is going to have a massive impact, I think, even little things. So let's be alert. Let's look for opportunities. Okay, so how do we grow in this? Well, I'll just finish with this. At the end of the day, it comes down to time, I think. I think it's about us giving time to seek God, to spend time in his presence, to spend time reading. That's something that I'm sort of feeling a bit of challenge at the moment. I've never been a particularly big reader, but I have read over the years a lot of books, and I'm just feeling a little bit provoked recently, particularly being in a bookshop yesterday and seeing some copies of John Wesley's journals. And I resisted buying them, which was quite a hard thing for me because I did want them, but we've been trying to sort of thin out our books rather than that. I know. You're there as well, aren't you?
So, with
having less storage in our house and having boxes full of books, it's hard. But I am challenged about actually reading some of the ones we do have, rather than them just sitting in the attic room. Actually getting them out and reading them, because I think it's actually and here's one of the books I've been quoting from this a few times when I've been preaching recently. It's not a new book by any means, but it's Knowing God by J.I. Packer. And of course the title draws you in, the fact that it's Knowing God, because he talks about God, as you would expect, and also how we respond to God. And sorry about that. But it's sort of getting into good, sound doctrine like that, and accessible as well. That's just Wayne Grudem is very good with that as well. His 20 issues, I can't remember the exact title, but he's very good at explaining theological things very simply, but not for the sake of growing in just head knowledge, but actually experiencing, like we've been talking about this morning, actually experiencing the truth of Scripture, and obviously reading the Bible. What better book? Reading the Bible more. And Julia's been using the, is it Phil Moore? the Fillmore studies, which you've been finding really, really helpful, haven't you? And it's on to the second or third one, something like that now, which has been quite a breakthrough, really, in terms of... It's true, isn't it? And so... reading the Bible and actually reading some of these books that help explain it more and help us get deeper into it and understand what's going on around it. And I think as we do that, we will grow in our... begin to know a bit more of that which is surpasses knowledge. God will act by opening ourselves. Because I think whenever you open the Bible, the Holy Spirit is there, isn't he, to actually begin to reveal it to us. And it's really about us giving it time, opening up our Bible and reading it, opening up these other books and looking for God to sort of give us a greater and deeper understanding. And so it's this giving time for reading, but it's also giving time for praying in the sense of what, I'm not sure if I like the term or not, the soaking thing, isn't it? It's just actually... being in a situation, giving ourselves the opportunity for God to be filling us and not making our prayer. It's good to pray. It's good to have your wish list. It's good to pray for stuff. It's good to intercede. The Bible says plenty about interceding. So let's not sort of, I'm not saying don't do that by any means, but I think we really also need to get into more and more just allowing God to work in us and speak to us. And particularly as we've read a bit of the Bible or read a bit of one of these other books to help us, and then just allowing the truth of that just to soak in and allow the Holy Spirit time just to let it go deeper into us, both in our hearts and our minds as well. And remembering at the end of Ephesians chapter 3, as it finishes there, it says, from verse 20, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." So the whole purpose of it all is that our lives should give glory and honour to God. So let me just finish by, let's stand up and I'm going to read through this again. And let's just practice, as I read it out, practice the sort of soaking, allowing God to touch your heart and perhaps allow some of these truths to sink in deep. "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Holy Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints, what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. To him who is able to do far more abundantly or exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in this church and in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, in this year ahead, forever and ever. Amen." Lord Jesus, I pray that these truths, that you would sink them into us deep. Lord, the knowledge of your love towards us, the great extent of that love towards us, its breadth, its length, its height. Lord Jesus, let it deeply, deeply affect us. Help us to be intentional. Help us to take time out. To make time, to be intentional about making time, to be with you, to read and allow truth to soak into us, so that we grow in our understanding of you, that we might be a more effective worshipper, a more effective prayer, more effective in everything we do.
That's right.
Father, please.
Yes.